morning, everybody, on 88.1 WYPR. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. We begin today with a look at some efforts here in Baltimore to identify, assist, and serve a population that was barely recognized even just a few decades ago, adults with autism. Senior producer Rob Sivek has the story.
Autism spectrum disorder. It's a familiar term at the heart of a growing national conversation about a still poorly understood brain development condition and about how society can move to better understand, embrace, and support people who are born with it and who live their lives on the spectrum. Autism's impact varies among individuals across a wide range or spectrum, but it's typically marked by difficulties with social interactions, abnormal communication, and repetitive or unusual behaviors. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's most recent data estimates that at least 1 in 68 children in the United States, between 1 and 2% of the population, are born with the disorder, with boys 5 times more likely than girls to have it. Just a few decades ago, new research and new diagnostic tools created a kind of boom in public awareness of autistic children. Today's autistic birth rate estimates are 20 times what they were in the 1980s. Some have called it an epidemic of discovery. And all those newly diagnosed autistic children have now grown to be adults with autism, facing a world ill-prepared to support and accommodate them. Over the past 15 years, there have been increased efforts by parents of autistic children, medical research centers, and universities to focus on the unique needs and challenges facing autistic adults. One of the country's leading experts in autism, Dr. Danielle Fallon, heads the Wendy Clagg Center for Autism and Developmental Disabilities at the Johns Hopkins University's Bloomberg School of Public Health. In a conversation we had a few months ago here on Maryland Morning, Fallon recalled how the Wendy Clagg Center itself was born just 10 years ago to address a long list of unanswered questions about this expanding population of adults with autism.
The dean of our school, Mike Clegg, his late wife, Wendy, is who our center is named after, the Wendy Clegg Center for Autism and Developmental Disabilities. And they have an adult daughter on the autism spectrum. And so the question that they faced for many years raising their daughter was, what will happen when she becomes an adult? You know, what do we know? What is known about the services available? What will happen as you develop social life as an adult? Can you be employed? All of these kinds of questions. And they are tough questions to answer. Most of the field has been focused on how to provide services for children. And so when we move to this, you know, burgeoning set of adults who will be on the autism spectrum, we don't have as good a data. We just don't know as much about how many adults are out here living with autism spectrum disorder, how they're doing health-wise, how they're doing in terms of, are they living independently or in an assisted facility? Are they employed or not? And so we would love to have better information about that at the local level and certainly at the state and national level.
Fallon says one of the earliest local efforts came around 2003 from a coalition of health professionals and parents with autistic children who were asking those tough questions about adult autism.
Baltimore City has an organization called Itinerus that really was a grassroots effort among families who were facing the same kinds of questions. And they now do help families and clients set up both assisted day programs, employment opportunities, sometimes help with assisted living kinds of arrangements. And it's that kind of effort that is needed. And while there are also public entities that can handle that through disability services, it is a really both understudied and probably unmet need that we all have to pay attention to.
One of Itinerus's founding and still active board members is Zosha Zax, a certified rehabilitation counselor who was in his 30s when he first learned he has autism. He says being on the spectrum allows him to understand the challenges facing autistic adults, a special insight that's been of great value to his work, not only with the nonprofit Itinerus, but in his full-time job as manager of education and programs at the Hussman Center for Adults with Autism, part of the Institute for Well-Being within Towson University's College of Health Professions. Zach oversees not only the students who come to the Hussman Center to gain clinical experience with autism, but also the autistic adult participants who enroll in the fee-for-service Hussman Center's many social and therapeutic programs. During a visit to the center, I asked Zach to describe the biggest challenges facing autistic adults.
Well, I'll answer that two ways. The first way is sort of the classic way. You know, if you look at how autism is defined, it's challenges, for example, in social communication. Oftentimes, adults on the spectrum will have an area of expertise or special interest. If you talk to self-advocates, for example, at the Honestly Autism Day conference in April here in Baltimore, I moderated a panel of adults on the autism spectrum. And if you listened to the content when they were describing their challenges, all of them said the challenge is really the barriers in society. They may be different. They may have some diversities. All human beings, I think, are diverse and have some things they're working on and some other things that they're really good at. And what adults on the spectrum consistently find or identify as the issue is when they don't have opportunities to contribute. Mm-hmm. Or when people, you know, only seek to understand them through this lens and don't try to get to know them as whole people.
I was looking for, I guess, friends and making new friends. Other than that, I was just playing Xbox and not really working.
That's Noah Plotkin, a 21-year-old on the autism spectrum, who first connected with the Hussman Center last year.
Yeah, I was living at home playing Xbox for about like 9 hours, and I was just thinking to myself, you know, this is not fun. I'm talking to people around the world, but not actually face-to-face with people, having conversations. So I went over here, and I've been having a lot of friends.
Plotkin says he was encouraged to sign up for one of the Hussman Center's work exploration programs, leading a group of other adults on the spectrum on a campus job that tapped into Plotkin's strengths.
The Hussman Center had a program where we would drive over to the Towson University. We would clean, disassemble, and I guess put the computers back together because they were gonna like donate them to like other schools. And my computer skills are sort of above, not kind of like way over the above like Bill Gates, more like kind of above average, sort of like a tech person. And most of the other students there that were from the Hussman Center needed a little bit of help. And since I had a little bit more knowledge than some people, I, you know, did the step by step. I didn't do it for them. I let them kind of do it on their own. And it's
But you were there to guide them.
Oh, yes. I was definitely there to guide them.
Zosha Zaks says that for a young man who'd had trouble finding and keeping jobs since graduating from high school, leading the computer team was a powerful confidence builder.
And he just came out of that experience beaming. He was like, oh, I can do something. Like, how I work is of benefit to some jobs. Mm-hmm. It's about finding my niche, you know. I think we see the social communication, the knowledge and awareness of yourself, and also just adjusting to what it means to be a worker.
Besides its work exploration programs, the Hussman Center runs a wide range of pay-for-service programs and activities for its autistic adult participants, from physical training in a well-equipped and instructor-staffed fitness center to dance, music, and art classes, and importantly, social groups for both men and women that meet at the center on a regular basis. Chris Hicks is a 33-year-old with Asperger's who's been coming to the Hussman Center for 5 years.
We have a social group. We've been doing it every other Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So we just usually engage in a handful of activities, and then we also do some things for like customs to things about autism, and we bring snacks, some store-bought, and then we show movies, and then playing games, singing songs, and things of that nature.
First, what we're going to do is we're going to do a little dancing. We're going to get you moving and grooving.
Music is a great tool because the participants find commonalities of, you know, oh, I like this type of music too.
That's Ashley Ciccone, a certified music therapist on the Hussman Center staff. She's leading a group of 8 autistic adults in the final music class of the year with a warm-up round of circle dancing. Each dancer ends their turn in the center by pointing to another in the group to take their place.
The first song is by James Brown.
Oh, all right.
I feel good.
I were to go up to a person and have a conversation, that in of itself could be deemed to them threatening or stressful, whereas if I just turn on a favorite song of theirs and then ask them to talk about that song or do something within that song, all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, I can do that.
The Hussman Center's Zosha Zaks says the music and art classes, the fitness training, the social groups, and especially the work exploration programs have a single overarching goal.
It's about giving people an opportunity to demonstrate what they can do. A lot of people on the spectrum may not be able to demonstrate what they can do in the typical way. So it's finding out how to give them a chance to demonstrate. You know, here they can have time to practice workplace social communication skills, to find out what they might be good at, to find out what they might like to do, but also to find ways that they can show people that they're capable. We really want to find places that these adults can contribute, and that's why it's not, you know, how significantly impacted are you, or can you talk or not talk? It's what can you contribute, and we want to find that place because that's where adults find their dignity.
Zosha Zaks is the manager of education and programs at Towson University's Hussman Center for Adults with Autism. Coming up after the break for the news, we'll continue our focus on the challenges facing adults on the spectrum. I'll talk with the Hussman Center's executive director, Dr. Charlotte Exner, about the evolution of services for autistic adults and the role her center is playing in that change. You're listening to Maryland Morning. I'm Rob Sivak. Stay with us.
Is there an issue that you'd like to see us cover? Let us know. You can email us at mdmorning@wypr.org, or you can leave us a voicemail. Just call 410-881-3162. Visit us on the web to leave comments or to hear previous episodes. That's all at wypr.org/Maryland Morning. Now, on with the show.
Welcome back to Maryland Morning. I'm Rob Sivak. Continuing our focus this morning on efforts to address the needs and challenges of autistic adults in the Baltimore community, I'm joined now by Dr. Charlotte Exner. She's the executive director of the Hussman Center for Adults with Autism that we visited in the first segment. It's part of the Institute for Well-Being within Towson University's College of Health Professions. Dr. Exner, it's a pleasure to be with you. Could you give us a little bit of history about how and why the Hussman Center was established and describe your mission here?
Sure. The Hussman Center came about first as a center for young adults with autism. And that evolved because we had been within the College of Health Professions, a number of conversations, including early on with someone very connected to the university, Tim Watkins, who was approaching us saying, what is Towson University doing in the area of working with individuals with autism? We had a very robust mix of disciplines at Towson. But at that time, and at that point it was probably 2006, we were beginning to do more work with children and youth with autism and talk about that within classes and in preparing our students to work with children with autism. But there was more conversation as he had us prodding us to think about, well, what else is out there? And then we had a Towson University alum, Doug Erdman, approach us saying, what is Towson doing in the area of working with adults with autism? And what would you like to be doing? And in that process, he and Therese Erdman, his wife, worked with us in developing a proposal, a plan for a center for young adults with autism, where we would develop some initiatives in support of these young people having something beyond high school and addressing those needs and coupling it with student education.
Mm-hmm. And so that was about 10 years ago.
That occurred in fall 2007, so we're now talking almost 9 years ago. At that point, there was very, very little conversation, very little attention to adults with autism. The focus was very heavily on children at that point and evolving treatments and interventions for children.
That's very interesting. I mean, what changed the conversation? What, I mean, obviously, if by logical extension, the young children with autism were going to be growing up and eventually they would be adults. But really, across the country, people have been talking about the relative lack of services and lack of programs for adult autistics.
Exactly. And in 2007, there was almost no attention to adults with autism, or at least that's my impression. I think that the interests started to come from parents who had learned to be quite good advocates of their children and then their evolving young adults within the school system, and seeing that services and accommodations for individuals with autism made a difference. They also were looking at the fact that while if they had a neurotypical child, a child without autism, that there were clear pathways that they might follow when they exited high school. They might go into higher education. They might go into work. They might do a transition time period and then move into higher education or a trade school. But that the path for individuals with autism was incredibly ambiguous. Mm-hmm. That there was not an environment, a culture around how to support an individual with autism moving into the adult world with some unique supports that might be very different than an individual, let's say, with Down syndrome. So that while there had been attention to individuals with intellectual disabilities, perhaps physical disabilities, that there had been very little attention to the unique needs and challenges of young adults with autism.
Mm-hmm. And how would you describe those special needs, those unique needs?
I think with individuals with autism, many, many people have incredible capabilities, many talent areas, and yet may have challenges with social communication, with adjusting to changing expectations, changing demands, and yet are very capable of doing a wide variety of work and other kinds of activities that don't need to be so highly structured or limited. They have great capacity, but also need some supports. In particular, let's say around some of the planning needed in activities, some of the social interactions, some of the sensory and environmental challenges that might come into play for an individual with autism.
So in the mission here at the Hussmann Center for adults with autism, is the focus on individualized tracks for working with individuals and finding what their unique capabilities are and then developing them along those lines?
No, our center has always been geared toward creating programs that would be open to individuals with autism, individuals with autism who might be verbal, might be somewhat verbal, might not be verbal but have other methods of communication, who could engage and interact with our university students so that we set up an environment for mutual learning. We thought right from the beginning that it was not only a matter of supporting adults with autism in developing other skills and continuing to learn once they were leaving high school, like so many other people do, but that it was a matter of also educating the community. about the capabilities of people with autism and why someone might have a little different behaviors or a different way of learning or need certain accommodations in their environment. So we focused as a university, in our university mode, on how could we support the education of our students while also supporting the adults with autism in having experiences in an inclusive setting.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking with Dr. Charlotte Exner, the Executive Director of Towson University's Hussman Center for Adults with Autism, located just north of the campus in the Towson City Center complex. So getting back to the educational component of the Hussman Center, what is the mix of Towson University students and university health professionals who are working with the autistic adult participants here?
Well, we've evolved and evolved over the years. Currently, the students who are involved in our programs are a mix of both students who are preparing to be professionals, so that we will have speech-language pathologists under the supervision of a speech-language pathology faculty member working with individuals with who are interested in building their communication skills. We might have an occupational therapy faculty member with occupational therapy graduate students working on with an individual around life skills such as cooking, meal planning, shopping, those areas, so that both the students and the individuals with autism are learning some very important skills. But the largest number of students we have are enrolled in a course here at Towson University now that meets what we call a core requirement. One of the essential categories that all undergraduate students have to fulfill prior to completing their baccalaureate degree. And the course that our students are linked in with relates to the category of diversity and helping the students look at disability as diversity. Mm-hmm. And while they're in this course, and that course is taught by our manager of programs in education here at the Hussman Center, the students have the opportunity for 10 weeks to spend about 2 hours a week involved in a particular program here at the Hussman Center. These students come from as many as 30-some different majors within the university. They may be a business student, a mass communication student, an art student, biology, education, health profession student from any number of areas. And the goal is for them to have an opportunity to interact as a peer with individuals with autism.
And how many participants from outside the university community, how many private adults are coming to use these programs to benefit from them?
Last year, or in the past year, 2015-2016, we had about 125 different adults with autism access something through the Hussman Center for Adults with Autism. Some people enrolled in programs, some people enrolled in or attended our Friday evening social groups, and some people did both.
Mm-hmm. And finally, Dr. Exner, how do you measure the effectiveness of your work here? What about outcomes? Do you get feedback? Do you follow on? Do you know what impact you've had on the lives of the adults with autism who come here?
We have both that anecdotal feedback, and we have systems for gathering more data in a systematic manner. So from the anecdotal side, we have people who say that they love coming here, they repeatedly enroll in programs, they say that we're very unique in creating this opportunity for bringing together how we would refer to our neurotypical students and participants, that they feel very accepted, welcomed, that they feel very comfortable being here. They say that they benefit quite a lot from the programs. We also collect some data from the participants themselves because we focus a lot on self-determination adults with autism making choices, making decisions that relate to their own goals. We talk with our participants about their goals. They tell us how, what specific goals they want to work on. We support them in looking at how they're making progress toward that goal. So we help them document the progress they're making, and we also identify some of the progress that individuals are making as well.
Mm-hmm. And how would you rate the impact?
I think that it's that our participants gain quite a lot of skills and confidence in interacting across a variety of situations. We support them in developing self-expression as well as self-advocacy. And most would, on our satisfaction surveys, report that they very definitely have outcomes in those areas.
Yeah. Thank you. Dr. Charlotte Exner is the executive director of the Hussman Center for Adults with Autism, part of the Institute for Well-Being within Towson University's College of Health Professions. We have links to more information about the Hussman Center, as well as to Itinerus, the nonprofit group we mentioned in the first segment, and to other important resources for autistic adults on our website at wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Rob Sivak. Stay with us.